In the studio with me today, I've actually got Ruth and Teresa. Morning, girls.
Morning.
How are you today?
Good, very well, thanks.
Thank you. Is it cold out there?
Pretty, yeah.
It's a bit chilly, isn't it? It's supposed to be 13 degrees for the rest of the day. I can't see it warming up to that much.
No. Not here.
Not at all. Now, you're in the studio. I'm glad you've come into the studio because I've been thinking recently, you've come in to talk about how to keep your pets safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know because I used to have a little dog, little border collie. He used to be terrified of bonfire night. We never let him out. We used to keep all the doors closed. And coming up to bonfire night, have you got any advice for people to keep their pets safe and away from all the... Because he used to sit under a chair shivering when he used to hear the bangs outside.
Not surprised. It's terrifying.
It's not good for pets, bonfire night. It's not good for pets at all.
Yeah, we've definitely got some tips that we can share with you. It's one of the things is... Of course, is keeping your animal inside, and not just on bonfire night, because people seem to send fireworks off in the 2 weeks before afterwards. So being mindful of that is a great starting point.
Yeah.
Giving them somewhere quiet to hide, a little den is really helpful. You can use these firework wraps. It's like a bandage that goes round.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good. I've tried them with my dogs in the lead up to, obviously, fireworks night, and it's actually worked really well with all three of them. It's really simple to do as well. You can just get a simple bandage and you just kind of go across the chest, under the armpits, over the back. Depending on how long the dog is, you can kind of wrap over and cross over a couple of times and then finish up with just tying like a loose knot or bow on the top of their back. Generally not on the peak of their spine because obviously it can cause a pressure point.
Yeah.
But you can find pictures and things online of what to do. It's really, really simple and it does work really well. It's like swaddling a baby.
So it's
like comfort feeling.
So it makes them feel comforted and not so frightened. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Is there a particular place we can buy some of these just in case somebody wants to?
Yeah, you can buy them online. Sometimes they're called thunder jackets or storm shirts, but you can do it with just a simple bandage on
a
roll.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And you can try it with your dog before you go and invest in perhaps a thunder shirt that may or may not work, because actually the bandages have been really effective for yours, haven't they?
Yeah, really effective, because the thunder shirts can tend to be quite expensive, so it's worthwhile giving it a go yourself and seeing kind of how it goes, and you've got to figure out size and things for the shirts as well. But yeah, you can just get like a normal stretchy bandage, preferably not something like a vet wrap that's sticky that's then going to stick to their coat. But yeah, just a long stretchy bandage that's going to give you enough stretch and enough bandage to wrap your dog.
That's a fantastic idea. It's such a simple little idea, and it makes them feel all comforted. And my dog used to sit under the chair, he's shivering, terrified he was.
Well, it sounds like gunshot, doesn't it?
It is.
From a dog's perspective, what's their role? Are they being attacked? Are they got to protect? Should they be terrified? Some dogs are not fazed by it, but my dog's not particularly fazed by it. He doesn't like it, but he doesn't react barking and stressing out. Your dogs really don't agree with it.
Yeah, we had a firework go off late last night, and our older dog, Merlin, he's very hypersensitive to that kind of noise anyway, and he's got worse as he's got older.
Yeah.
And he shot out the back door. Then the other two obviously shoot out the back door, and then there's this chorus of dogs barking.
It is
a scary thing, and obviously, unfortunately, fireworks now start before Halloween and tend to go on all the way up to New Year's almost.
Yeah, that's right.
So it is quite difficult to deal with as an owner, and there are lots of alternatives to sedation that you can use for your dog just to kind of help settle and ease them into what is to come.
Notoriously over the years as well, because of the firework displays and the bonfires that they build, that was a huge problem with hedgehogs getting into the bonfire. Is there anything anybody can do to stop that from happening?
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly, if you're going to set a bonfire, try and keep it relatively small, at least up until like the day or the day before. And you can go in and rustle in there as well and kind of disturb any of the kind of leaves or any of the loose bits that you've put at the bottom.
Yeah.
And they will come out. You know, they're not going to want to stay in there. And equally, just be really mindful of kind of how soon you build it. And if you can, try and kind of close it off, if at all possible, just to stop wildlife from getting in there, because obviously you're building a perfect little space for them to sleep.
Of course you are,
So they don't think of it anything other than a nice little hotel for them to go in winter in.
Yeah.
Go and kind of disturb it, really kind of give it a shake around. I mean, the worst thing you're going to do is touch a hedgehog and it's going to prickle you slightly. You know, it's not like they're going to bite your hand off or anything.
Yeah, yeah. that was the hedgehogs of old.
Yeah,
they're trained not to do that now.
Yeah, they're all gone now.
It's a rogue hedgehog somewhere in Brentwood. Look out, don't go on the streets. So I know you're off to Hopefield after this. What are you doing for Hopefield?
Well, we've been volunteering for Hopefield, both of us completely animal mad and have pet related businesses, and we wanted to do something for a local charity, so we started going down there regularly a day a month. And today, I don't know what we'll be doing, because it's a bit like that, we turn up and you just, the staff there direct you to where they need your help. So we might be mucking out horses, we might be poo picking, we might be...
Hang on, reverse one. Yeah. You shot past that a bit quick. Poo picking?
Yeah.
What's poo picking?
So basically just clearing up poo from fields and paddocks and areas and things like that. Obviously,
oh, I'll see.
Nice and clean and tidy, yeah.
Oh, poo picking.
Yeah. It is pretty much what it is.
Yeah. We might be feeding some of the more exotic animals, like the spiny mice.
Yeah, the spiny mice are really, really cute.
They are so really cute. They're always looking for homes for them because they've got quite a lot. But what else have they got down there?
You really like Sid the skunk, don't you?
Yeah.
They've got skunks down there as well, have they?
Sid the skunk down there. Yeah, he's fascinating.
Last time we were down there, it was the open weekend. So we got involved in helping with the crafts on the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But we obviously had to help with all the animals beforehand and then be open for the public and help the public. And of course, then there's always our own favourites that we like to go and say hello to. I love the skunk, Sid, but we like to go and check out the ferrets and the horses.
Yeah, I like all the miniatures. I love all the miniatures. They're just so cute and they just look so mischievous.
Now, I've never actually been down at Hopefield, to be honest. I know it's right on the doorstep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've never popped down there.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's lovely.
Yeah, it's got a coffee shop or a little cafe. They were recently broken into, but they
I've seen that on Facebook, that they had a few different occasions where you had some yobbos getting in there.
Yeah. So
we'll see kind of where they are with repairs and things today, I guess.
Yeah. It's a really nice place to pop down if you've got little children, because they've got a little play area and there are animals that you can interact with. Some animals have got really tragic stories and they're kept a little bit further away from people.
Yeah.
But generally, you can pretty much go around and see most of the animals that are there and get really up close and personal. And they've got some really unusual ones there too.
They have. There's a real variety.
So are the animals, did they actually move them in like a mini type zoo sort of thing? But or are they animals that the owner couldn't look after them anymore, sort of?
Yeah, quite often it's an owner has given it up, or an owner has passed away, or their circumstances have changed, and then they've gone to Hopefield and said, can you take this? I know when we were there last time, they'd taken in some exotics, a red iguana and some other...
Yeah, and there were some birds of prey as well, weren't there, that had recently come in as well, that they were starting to kind of integrate into public space. But they do an amazing job up there. They really do. And there's such a variety of animals. I think when we first got there, we were a bit shocked, weren't we?
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
To all the different variants that there are. And there's all these little corners with lots of other little creatures, and they really do utilise the space they've got there. But there is so many different species. It's fascinating.
I'm going to have to pop over there.
Absolutely,
My little one's 4 years old. He'd love
that. Oh, perfect.
He'd love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He really would love it. Well, girls, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your knowledge with us about how to look after the pets coming up to Firework Night.
You're welcome.
And you're always welcome back on the show. If you've got anything else going on with Hopefield, you just come in and tell us all about it.
Great. Thank you.
I'll speak
Thanks
to
very
you soon.
Much.